This one's for anyone who's ever waved too hard, said something weird, and then avoided their neighbor for a week. Let's be honest. Overthinking is basically cardio for the socially anxious. You meant to love your neighbor, not to launch into an internal TED talk called 10 Ways I Might Have Made It Weird. So you know what it's like. You sign up to bring a meal to someone going through a rough time. You make pasta, then panic for 3 days wondering if they'll think pasta is too basic. And at some point, you seriously consider writing an apology letter note on the foil lid. Welcome to Messy Advice for People Who Care. For anyone who once said, "We should hang out sometime," and then avoided their neighbor for the next 6 months, just in case they took you seriously. Hey, it's Johan on the edge of being helpful, offering wisdom somewhere in between the Book of James and that group text you still haven't replied to. Today's question comes from someone trying to love others well, but keeps getting tripped up by their own inner monologue. Every time I try to reach out to someone, I overthink everything. I worry they'll find it weird, or that I'm being too much. How do I care without spiraling into anxiety or self-doubt? Hey, if you've ever felt like loving people shouldn't feel this complicated, you're not alone. According to Stats Canada's 2021 Canadian Social Survey, more than 1 in 10 Canadians reported always or often feeling lonely. And that number jumps nearly 1 in 4 for people living alone. The need for connection is obvious, but what's less visible is the hesitation underneath. We're not avoiding people because we don't care. We're often just unsure of how to begin. It's like we're all waiting for someone else to make the first move, then overanalyzing if we're being too much the moment we do. And this social anxiety is what I believe to be one of the contributing factors to loving our neighbors better. It's like we've turned loving our neighbor into a psychological escape room. Every gesture is a riddle. Every silence feels like a clue. And one wrong move means replaying the conversation in your head for the next 3 days. But let's be real. Most of us don't fear caring. We fear being the weird one. The person who tries too hard. The one who bought soup when silence might have been better. Being overbearing means you tried, and that's much harder to recover from. We'd rather be called flaky than overbearing because being flaky means you forgot. Being overbearing means you cared too much, and that's somehow worse. Think about this scenario. You think about inviting someone new at church over for dinner. You even start planning the menu in your head. But then come the doubts. What if it's awkward? What if they feel obligated and don't really want to? What if I accidentally kill them with gluten? So instead, you smile warmly and say, "See you next week," for the sixth time in a row. Or how about this scenario? Someone in your small group is having a hard time. You pull at your phone to reach out. You write, "Hey, just thinking of you," and then delete it. Try again. No pressure to respond, but delete. After the sixth draft, you'll convince yourself they'll think it's weird or unwanted. So you close your phone and decide to pray instead. Now you feel guilty and socially paralyzed. Consider this.
Let's get biblical.
In Luke 10, when Jesus tells the parable of the Good Samaritan, he doesn't make the religious folks the heroes. In fact, they're the ones who walk past the man in need, probably overthinking the whole way down the road. Is this safe? Is it a trap? What are the optics? And then comes the Good Samaritan, the outsider, the one no one expects. He's not from the right group, but he's the one that stops. Not with a 5-step plan, not with a polished check-in, just presence. He crossed that road. He gets off his donkey. He touches the man's wounds. It's messy, interruptive, not exactly a strategic ministry moment. And Jesus doesn't give us the Samaritan's inner monologue. For all we know, he was nervous, uncomfortable, maybe even awkward. But that didn't stop him from showing up. That's what makes this story powerful. The Samaritan acts out of compassion, not confidence. He doesn't wait to feel socially smooth or theologically ready. He just sees someone hurting and chooses to get involved, even when it costs him. Jesus doesn't say, "Go and be socially seamless." He says, "Go and do likewise." Sometimes the road to someone's healing is paved with awkward moments and weird energy, and it's still holy. Awkward care is kingdom care. Jesus doesn't bless polish, He blesses presence. Hey, you don't need to be cool, clever, or confident to care well. You just need to cross the road, text the person, make the invite, show up a little awkward and a lot secure. It's okay if it's messy. Love still counts. You don't need the right words, just the right heart and willingness to be a little uncomfortable. So if you've been avoiding a moment of care because you've worried about doing wrong, maybe it's time to do it anyway, imperfectly, but with heart. Hey, you want to join the conversation? Come find us on our Care Impact podcast group on Facebook. We'd love to hear your graciously awkward stories. Until next time, keep loving, keep laughing, and yes, if you spent 20 minutes writing that two-line text and still haven't sent it, that counts. But you still have to press send. And always remember to stay curious.